A63. Number 17A.
Today we take those four Bible lessons that seem to be fundamental for an understanding of the creative law of the Word. And these four Bible lessons are the days of creation, which we have taken and which we can take, so to say, as a cornerstone for what we do today. Then the commandments, then the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. John Dolly saw that these Bible teaching would follow a sevenfold order, and therefore we want to see why we should have four different presentations of the sevenfold order, and only really when we see in how far they differ in tonality, we also can see the practical implication of these four Bible teachings. The days of creation we have taken, and therefore we have seen that even literally the Bible tells about the first day, second day, and so on, and the seventh day. But when we come to the commandments, we have to be a bit careful, because in ordinary language we speak about the Ten Commandments, whereas here we have a layout of seven stages, seven statements, and we must be clear as we are talking about it that this is a point of criticism that is put forward against the teaching of John Dolly, saying there are Ten Commandments and not seven, as John Dolly has it, and naturally this is a bit a misunderstanding in many ways. First of all, we have to know that the Bible never speaks about the Ten Commandments. The Bible never enumerated the commandments up to ten. This does not exist in the Bible. The Bible only speaks about the commandments, not about the Ten Commandments. The Ten comes from theology. They have enumerated them long after the Bible has been written, and so we can see that we have the right to correct the theological view on the commandments and say, well, they were just counting them up, how many times the Bible would say in the commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not, whereas we really should consider the commandments in a spiritual line and ask about the spiritual import. There we have seen that John Dolly shows that actually there are seven statements that have to do with man's relationship to God, and therefore has taken those seven statements as the seven statements of the commandments. When we talk about it, we make the mistake that we speak about the first commandment and the second commandment instead of saying the first statement or the second statement, because what we consider as being the second statement is naturally in theology the first commandment. So there is a difference alone there in the wording, and we have to be careful, because also Mrs. Eddy has taken from theology the term the first commandment is my favorite one, and what she says there as the first commandment is actually our second statement, not the first statement. So in speaking about this layout of the commandments, we actually should always say the first statement and not the first commandment, so as not to to mix it up with the theological terminology. But naturally, very often in discussing things, we make a shortcut and just say, well, the fifth commandment and the fourth commandment, meaning really the fifth statement or the fourth statement of the commandment. The main thing is that we know that our enumeration is different than the theological enumeration. Is that clear? Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to bring up the first big question. Namely, here we have a fourfold flow through the seven in the Genesis order. And therefore, the first big question that we could ask is, why four different statements? Why not just one, if it always follows the four? How could we explain to ourselves that these four are just the same, very different, though they flow through the seven? And what is that difference? Did you have some thought about that? Is the question clear? The question is, really, that if we read, say, the 7 days of creation, we have a terminology and symbolism that is absolutely, completely different from when we read the seven statements of the commandments. And they again are absolutely, completely different when we read the seven Beatitudes. And again, very different when we read the seven statements in the Lord's Prayer. Therefore, we have a great difference and yet a unity. They all flow through the word order. How could we explain that? And this is the most important question of today. That's what I mean, yes. Each one of the four have the word order that we see. Why are they different if they are the same? You see, that's the great question always. Can something be different when they are the same? And they naturally can. But we must know the reason when and why. Frank?
Well, in your days of creation, the seven reveal something. Commandments that demand, what is demanded.
Yes?
The attitude is the reward of applying that command, and then the Lord's Prayer is the scientific fact.
Yes. So you would say you have four completely different standpoints from which you consider the seven. Again, we have that sense. We can have, a house, and that house is always the same house. But the moment we look it from the north, it looks different than from the south and from the east and the west. Yet it's the same house. Like what we have seen with the four gospels, it's all about the same thing, namely the phenomena Jesus, the Christ, and you can look at it from four different angles. If we would now ask, you have said what those different standpoints are in colloquial terms. If we would try to show them in the system, how would we symbolize it in the system, those four? Yes. Would that be exact? That it is depicting the same thing from the standpoint of the world, and the other from the standpoint of the Christ, and the other from the standpoint of Christianity, and the other same from the standpoint of science. Is that exact?
No, because you're using all of the creative order.
Yes, you always use the creative order, always the word. Therefore, how could we answer this question a bit more exact? that they, those four would depict what in the system?
The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Yes, yes. We would have to add, you see, that they all four have the common denominator that they are the Word, and that each one has a shading of the Word. Namely, the Word as the Word would be the days of creation. The standpoint of the Word as the Christ would be the commandments. The standpoint of the Word as Christianity would be the Beatitudes. The standpoint of the Word as science would be the Lord's Prayer. In this way, we have clearly defined the purpose of each of those four Bible teachings. These Bible teachings are quite interesting. When we afterwards, later on, somewhere, some year, they are related to the four first chapter of the textbook. And we'll see quite a bit of a common denominator that runs through those four first chapters. We would also have in the first chapter, so to say, the revelation to the seeking thought of what God is through prayer. We would also have very distinctly in the second chapter, Atonement and Eucharist, the demands that the Word puts on the seeker and say, what are these Christ demands that he has to fulfill? We very much will find in the chapter Marriage, the Word as Christianity, the sense of the Beatitudes, that if you take a certain kind of attitude which is divine, then the reward will be so and so. A great sense of that. And then naturally, when we come to the fourth chapter, the Word as Science, there again we have a great similarity in tonality, which would say, now, the fourth chapter presents now being as what it is. Just as Frank has said, the Lord's Prayer, in its statement, just says what is in being. So, though naturally those four biblical teachings have not quite the same standpoint as the textbook, because the textbook has the overall umbrella tone of Christian Science, of science, whereas naturally the Bible does not have that overall umbrella of science, much more the overall umbrella tone of the Word, the fulfillment of the Word. So there is naturally a slight difference, so that we can't say, well, I will find the very same tones in each one of the seven in the textbook. It's only the atmosphere, actually the standpoint of Word, Christ, the demands of the Christ in Atonement and Eucharist, the blessing we get from a divine attitude in marriage that are similar, and also then that blunt statement of what being is in the science, in Christian Science versus Spiritualism. So in this way, I think we can more or less define really those first or those four big Bible teachings. Yes, so I think we have settled, so to say, the place value, the standpoint, and now we really could consider the teaching of those four lessons. Another common denominator that will run through these four Bible teaching is the following one, and a very important one, I would say. Namely, Perhaps we have felt, as long as we were considering the days of creation, especially when we did take them the way the Bible writes them, from the absolute standpoint, God said, let there be, without really taking in view what John Dolly very often did, the relative reaction to it. See that, you know what I mean with the relative reaction, that the Bible only says, let there be light. It doesn't say, now, what should be the attitude of the seeker. That the Bible doesn't say. But naturally, these 7 days of creation from the absolute standpoint only have a real practical meaning when we then consider what is the relative reaction of the seeker. At the first day, the seeker would have to say, I'm willing to let in the light. I turn to the light. But when we come to commandments and beatitudes and Lord's Prayer, we will see that these are very distinctly bringing out the human involvement. Let me put it this way, the human involvement. So that they give a very practical sense of the word order. Instead of only having the word order from its absolute point, where just God presents itself and reveals itself as mind and says, I am spirit and I am soul and I am principle and I am life and I am truth and I am love and that's my nature. Biblical teachings say, now what are you going to do about it? Therefore, they all have then a very practical living sense. And therefore they are so important that therefore I feel we should not take them too slightly or just as something on the fringe, but something very central to our being. Because they are those teachings that if we follow them in daily life, it is those that make really the days of creation our living experience. It becomes us. They help us to make the 7 days of creation subjective. It's that which makes us a new man, which transforms and reforms our whole attitude. Whereas if we just stay, say, with the days of creation from the absolute standpoint, we can grasp and enjoy those 7 days as we did yesterday through the subtones of the 7 days, in a mental way. We can mentally figure out things. We can mentally follow, so to say, the logic of that order. But it's only mentally following it. It's typically still the word as the word, where we first get the letter right. But we know that getting the letter right is only the beginning, that which really matters is to get the spirit of it. And therefore, the commandments, beatitudes, and Lord's Prayer are those that when one follows that order from that standpoint, that it is that means that really then give us the spirit of it. They seem to be, to me, so much more important, if I may say so, than just always going only through the days of creation. We become a new man through the commandments, the beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, because they all appeal to the human standpoint, that the human standpoint, the human attitude has to be changed and brought in line with, in accord with the divine word. Therefore, I feel one should really live with these Bible teachings, and therefore, too, I think one should have a very natural grasp of the seven. It shouldn't be intellectual training to remember Now, what is really the fifth beatitude? Now, what is really the third commandment? Now, what is really the sixth Lord's statement of the Lord's Prayer? You see, this is, as long as we have to do that, we have the proof within ourselves that we have only considered being with our brain, with our thinking, not with our being. Those four really should make thinking to our being, so that we are the very being of those seven. And no more thinking about it and say, now, let me see what are now the seven beatitudes. Now, what may be the first one? And you begin to think, yes, yes, the first one is so-and-so. Huh? And then what follows afterwards? I have nearly forgotten it. Now it comes back to me. It's this and this. You see, as long as you have that, you can test yourself. If you have still that attitude, then you know you haven't grasped it. You haven't lived through it. Or else it becomes so much one's own being that one not even have to think about it. And this is what I would like to see. It makes really the student a living example of the Word of God. All right. So we start and consider what is the spiritual meaning and impact of the commandments. So we take the first commandment. Now, again, let's be scientists and not religionists. And so far, the religionist just remembers the commandment and then rattles down the commandment. The scientist here would have always to ask one big question, that we keep to the tonality of the Word as the Christ, so that the tonality of the Word as the Christ is the dominant tone that goes through it, which we should never really leave. Now, what is the dominant tone? Just to repeat it again, what must be the dominant tone that must go right through the seven? And we have stated it. Frank, will you repeat it to the class again so that it sticks out? Huh? The dominant tone of the commandment is the demand that God requires of the student or of the seeker. So we should really hear, there is a constantly that sense, what is the divine demand that is asked of the student so that he changes his standpoint in regard to the human standpoint he has been taken up to now. So we have here that real great point of thou shalt, really, and the demand. All right, let's see if we can keep that dominant tone of the Word as the Christ. And we come to the first statement of the commandments. Now, what is the first statement of the commandment? I don't care if you know it by heart or you leave out some terms. The main point is to know the tonality of the first commandment, or the first statement of the commandment. What is that?
Bringing out of Egypt, out of bondage.
Now, fine. Can I take you up again? Yes. You say it is bringing you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Yes. Is that true? Is that so? Is that the first statement of the commandments? Yes? Yes? Who says no? I'm the Lord that did it. Is that true? All right. Let's take these two answers. Let's say Sue's answer. Have they the dominant tone? No, huh? They don't have it, huh? Isn't it true? Emma, what you said is not the dominant tone, huh? You see? What you said, I'm the Lord thy God who did it. I'm the one who did it. Huh? Hasn't the tone either, huh? Can you see? There's something lacking, huh? Namely, the most important thing. Yeah? Put it back to the individual, huh? Yeah? Yeah? So what would be the demand that is in the words? See, can you... Beg your pardon?
We have to turn to divine mind.
Yeah? Yeah? So that...
And be it.
Uh-huh. The BFs... Can you see how I reasoned? And how one has to reason. You have always to reason in categories and not in terms. In terms, what you have said is somehow right, what you have said is somehow right, the terms are there. But the tonality wasn't there. Not at all. Huh? The tonality was there that says, the Lord God, he did the trick. Huh? He did bring you out of Egypt. Huh? That was, but that is not the demand. This is not the demand. That would be typically the Christ himself. Huh? That wouldn't be the Word as the Christ. That would be Christ as the Word. Huh? Which would say, I'm the big boss, huh? And what did I do? I brought you out of the house of bondage. I brought you out of darkness into light. I'm the big boss. Huh? But the commandments must tell us something else. We must keep to the tonality. Hmm? That's why, you see, what you feel here, that's why those theologians didn't take that as the first statement of the commandments. They took that as a nice little introduction before they started, thou shalt have no other God before me. So theology didn't recognize it, but we have to recognize it, that if the commandments have a common denominator or else they are not the successive flow, we only have a creative successive flow if there is a common denominator running through it. The common denominator running through it is actually the demand on men. Therefore, we come back to that first one. How then would you have to read that first commandment?
Oh, that I am the power behind your deliverance. I'm the power that demands that you accept this and be delivered from bondage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. See?
Demand for us to drop mortal mind and the bondage of mortal mind and get into the light of intelligence. In other words, essentially, to drop mortal mind.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you get it. Actually, see, I would like to see it with the terms as it stands, you see, or they begin to say that we are, this, what you say, we put the words upside down, we are distorting the text. So somehow perhaps we have to accentuate differently.
God is saying, I command that you admit that I am the one that led you out of the land of Egypt.
Yes.
I am the one. You have to realize that and admit it.
Yes.
That I am the one that led you out of bondage.
Yes. Yes. So that's what the others tried to say too. It comes to that tonality, you see. Therefore, it is naturally... very different where you put your accentuation when you read it. If you read it, I'm the Lord thy God which brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You have it wrong. Huh? You stress the Christ. If you read it differently, in the tonality of the demand, it means, now listen here, huh? I am the Lord thy God. Huh? Don't take anybody else. I am he. Huh? So, as you said, it is a command to turn to the I am, huh? As the one who will do the blessing. I am the one that is going to do it. It's therefore an appeal to the reader. Huh? It says, don't go to another source. Don't go to another power. go to me. I am the one. Huh?